he's right here, so. Oh, he topped it. He cold topped it.
Okay. Ready to go. Yeah.
Gate iron.
Oh, shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys podcast.
Kevin and Mark here, as always, and we don't have a guest. It's back to normal.
Yes, back to it. How are we, Kevin?
I always like to try and shock you with that little start bit to see if you get confused or thrown off.
It works every time because I'm expecting the normal, and then you start throwing all this at me.
You're just thinking, what's he going to say now?
How are we, mate? Okay.
Very well, mate, very well. Bit bored of the old lockdowns now, like, but, you know.
At least you've got a putting challenge to keep us entertained.
Well, that's it, yeah. We've only had many people. Everyone keeps saying they're going to do it, but I think they're waiting until they do it in one.
Do you know what I think it was with this putting challenge? It took ages, didn't it?
Well, it took ages for us. Like, we had Lee sending in and done it in two goes.
I know, yeah. I know. But yeah, it took me, what? I think 8 minutes, and I shortened it down to like a 3.5-4 minute video with it speeding it up slightly. Yeah.
Yeah, but it looked more like a circus act, didn't it? Like a fucking Alan Partridge sketch or something at the beginning of yours. Should have put the.
I was all over the place, wasn't I?
You get there.
I couldn't believe that the first put that I hit. Just missed and it just knocked me. Then I brought it back. The balls were going everywhere. It was just a shambles.
Oh, mate. And you didn't even do it either. One of them bounced out.
No, come on.
I'm not having it.
Come on.
Redo.
In the slow-mo, it starts doing it. It takes a hop, skip and a jump.
Yeah, we've actually had 16 people message in there, all want you to redo it.
I'll do it again, but just don't have a go at me when I do it in two goes this time.
I know. In fact, actually, I'll take you seven.
that first 3 footer that I missed, it knocked me confidence. It took me.
Mate, I done exactly. I've died on the exact same thing. Just missed me first 3 footer.
I know, but there's nothing else we can do. Is that we can't play golf, so we've got to entertain ourselves.
It's
somehow.
A bit of crack. I think the cat got more attention on mine than the actual putting challenge. Everyone commenting because the cat's head's like that, isn't it?
Yeah, just following the ball each way. Yeah,
and he's licking his lips like that after his food. He's just looking at the thing.
I was expecting him to just jump off and just grab the ball.
Well, he did. You know, after it finished the challenge, he kept running to one end, whacking the balls that end, and then whacking them the other way, and then running after them. So at least he was entertained anyway. Well, we want. Like, we're getting a good few listeners now, well into the hundreds. So, like, where did all the putting challenges?
Well, maybe not all of them, not on social media. Some people just like listening to podcasts.
No, that's what I'm saying. So if people are listening, get a putting challenge filmed and into us now.
Do it, yeah. Get it done.
Do you know what I mean?
But it's not just putting.
You need to get that challenge.
I've been doing my workouts as well. I've started that McGregor Fast app.
Yeah, so have I, brother. We've been doing it together. It's I know it's just as easy as following a YouTube video or like you can do for free on the telly or whatever, but it's just, as you were saying, that the structure that it gives you, like workout one, workout two, three, and then you've got something to follow and something to look forward to because it helps you because you were saying you just pick any random one off the telly. Then you go back
Because I'm not educated enough in knowing what muscle groups are doing, whatever, then I could tend to just pick one and then the following day pick another one and I'm doing duplicate muscle groups and then I can't be bothered for 3 days then because I'm so sore, do you know what I mean?
At least this one,
as painful as it's been the first week, but you'd expect that after such a long layoff from exercise, really back into it now. I've done now.
Have you, yeah? I only picked the three a week, mate, but I've just cancelled the program and started the five.
Yeah, five a week.
Yeah, I'm on the five now as well. Yeah. But I end up doing five anyway, just doing extra ones because I just needed a little bit more.
No, but that's it. One of my goals this, although there's been a bit of criticism, hasn't there? Because I said I just want to shed a few pounds. More specific, I just want to trim down and be a bit more athletic when it comes to playing the game of golf. That's the main goal. I don't know how else to put that into a goal, but.
you could maybe write, I don't know if looking at the scales is a good thing, but maybe like getting a weight that you actually want to get to and then strive towards it then. So then you can build up to getting down to that. And if it takes you all year, if you smash it, then you can reset new goals, can't you, if you get past it?
Yeah. What have you done towards your goals this week?
We'll just put them. That's it, really. Mine was struggling. Oh, in fact, actually, do you know what I did do? As part of work, obviously, I went to Formbjol and hit a few balls on the simulator. So that's basically a lesson and a going the range in one session. So yeah, that's what I've done towards them. But it was just nice to get a few swings in, really.
Definitely. All the better.
But it was all filming for David's marketing campaign that he's doing for himself, for his teaching and his obviously and his lessons when he opened back up, and he wants to start doing a bit of online.
I've seen that. He's put a couple of videos up. I mean, when you've got, he's got his own philosophy of how he teaches, hasn't he? And I think it's good
that's what I mean. So
while you've got these lockdowns, it's difficult to.
You might as well, and it's not because what's doing him in is. A lot of people are sending him videos to analyze, and then like we had that thing the other day with the angles where Tommy's hitting a ball, and then David's like, "Look, that is the middle of the stance. It's the camera angle that's making it look like it's front." We put a vote out, and like 30 people voted for front, and like 3 or 4 voted for center. But yeah, center was right when Finno verified it. So then Dave was like, look, if I'm getting, because he's had a few people sending him videos into analyze over the winter, so what they can practice, or over the lockdown, sorry, what they can practice in the net. And it's all from different angles, so you don't know. So what could look like it's coming inside to outside is actually the opposite. So he's just going to do a few more educational videos to actually help people help themselves, even if they're not sending the videos to him. When they send the videos to their coach or whatever, it's just good knowledge to have of camera angles and how that works. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it makes sense as well, doesn't it? Because if you've got the angles correct to start with, then that's half the battle, isn't it? It just makes it easy for the coach as well.
Well, exactly, especially if someone's telling you that your path's out and then you change the camera angle and actually your path's straight, it's your club face that's out. But when from that other angle, the club face look closed, you're just opening doors that don't need to be opened.
Yeah, which makes it difficult. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. No, so, it's good. It's good. I'm looking forward to watching his videos, yeah?
Yeah.
But obviously, we're well into the golf now, aren't we? The PGA Tour started now. We had the Century Tournament of Champions last week, and we got the Sony Open in Hawaii this week. But before we move on to that, I just wanted to touch on a couple of discussion points that have been in the news. Obviously, we touched on it last week about the term Justin Thomas used, but this week, since we've released last week's episode, he's been dropped by Ralph Lauren, hasn't he? So Ralph Lauren have come out and they've said that they're disheartened by the language. The word that he's used conflicts with their inclusion culture. And they've not discounted working with him again. They've not said that they won't work with him again. But what they have said is they want him to use his platform to promote inclusion. So they keep using the word inclusion in the statement that they've come out with.
What does that even mean? Like,
it just means regardless of who you are, what you do, you're still one person, you're a human being, so everybody should be included the same way. And by using that,
what he was saying wasn't discluding gay people, was he?
My opinion on it, and obviously we won't keep going on about it.
I thought it was going to be bad that they fined him. I was like, don't even fine him and move on. Now that they've dropped him, I'm just like, come on.
Yeah, he's in Abu Dhabi this week, isn't he? So it's going to be like,
I've said sorry. I've been fined. Yeah. But whatever. I've said it now. I've said my apologies. I've been dropped from me. I've lost my clothing brand. So now I'm going to politely move on to a different clothing brand because he's. What's he wearing, number 3?
Yeah.
Like, come on, who's not, or 2, whatever it is, who's not going to want him?
No, Rams 2, yeah, 3.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. So, who is not going to want Justin Thomas? Like, he's probably got them queuing up.
But yeah, he's going to get picked by somebody. It's just the...
I used to think he looked shit anyway when he was the clobber that he used to flex, like with them shoes. Like, he could do a little revamp, couldn't he? So he's done himself a favour.
Well, there's a little spot on Adidas now that John Rams parted ways.
Exactly, there you go. Big shake up.
Gone to Callaway, big shake up. But it'd be interesting to see what he wears. He's in the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championships this week, isn't he? So it'll be interesting to see what he wears. Just that there'll be all eyes.
It'd be boss if he designed his own clothes and he'd come out with all the rainbow, you know, like the rainbow laces and the rainbow armbands and all that, proper like gay pride flag and everything.
That would be inclusive, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And then Ralph Wren took him back next week.
That's all he wanted, yeah.
Yeah.
But moving on from JT, there was another big bit of news. From green jacket to orange jacket, Angel Cabrera has been arrested.
I got a little text about that on Friday night there, thinking, what was he, like, drunk and disorderly or something, or what did he do?
No, it's he's got criminal offences include assault and theft. They date back from 2016 to 2020, and he was actually on Interpol's red notice list, which is a nationwide request for police to arrest an individual pending extradition. So he's been going to be sent from Brazil back to Argentina, but there's no details on that, and there's been no comments made. But supposedly,
what the fuck's he been up to? Like,
there's a claim in there that he's hit his last three partners. One of them's claiming he punched her in the face. His ex-wife and his ex-partner have both said that he assaulted them as well. So
he's just a bit of a fuck. He does look like one of them big fucking South American, the big.
What? Yeah. What are they?
You know what I mean? like chauvinistic male dominant, like I'm the man, like the woman walks behind me, like you can do, he's one of them, right. Isn't he?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, now it's very bad. Obviously, if he's been doing that stuff like that, it's
yeah.
Is he still playing golf, is he?
Obviously not. No, he's been hiding in Brazil for 4 years by the sounds of things.
I know, yeah. So he's getting
I don't know how big the story's gonna be. I mean, he's not a superstar, but he's a 2-time major champion, he's won the Masters, he's won the US Open, so yeah. You know, it will make the news if it gets any deeper than that. But yeah, four years they've been after him.
He can't be out to final, can he, really?
Yeah, it's either 4 years they've been after him or the assaults range from 16 to 20. It's one of them. We'll fact check that.
Fact check that.
And then the only other point I wanted to raise is the WGC in Mexico. It was announced, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, I'm not sure. But
yeah,
obviously due to the logistical challenges posed by COVID and there's limited travel from America to Mexico and back, they've moved the events to the Concession Golf Club in Florida.
All right.
But now part of the Florida Swing. It's going to take place from the 25th to the 20th.
Is it still a WGC, is it?
Yeah, still going to be a WGC, yeah. So it's still the same. The Concession Golf Club, bit of information about that, actually. It was designed by Jack Nicklaus and Tony Jacklin, and it was the point that you made on the GOAT debate, and when you said about...
When you give him the putt.
When you give him the putt, yeah. So that's where the name comes from, the Concession Golf Club.
Right.
Yeah, they created together from that moment in the 1969 Ryder Cup.
It's mad, that, isn't it? Because you've got, like, to come up with a name like that when you're with your mate and you're working and there's banter. That's half banter, isn't it?
Behind that's what I mean, yeah.
I can imagine them having an ale and just being like, hey, should we call it the Concession? It'd be a fucking funny one, wouldn't it? Because I give you that putt.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, go ahead, yeah, go ahead.
Over a whiskey, remember that putt I give whiskey, you?
Yeah. And he's like, that's it? That's what we'll call it?
Yeah, that's it.
I actually feel like I was there.
But it makes sense in Florida as well, because as I said, there's the following three events from that is the Arnold Palmer Invitation, the Players, and then the Honda Classic. And that brings us right up to a couple of weeks before the Masters. So literally, we've got the HSBC this week. We've got another tournament in Dubai next week. Then we've got a couple of tournaments on the PGA Tour. And then we've got four big tournaments in Florida. And then we've got the Masters. So it's just non-stop top-level golf all the way through.
Sick, isn't it?
So good, man. So good. But talking about top level PGA Tour golf brings us on to the Sony Open.
Yeah. Just before you move on to that, we've had a couple of viewer requests.
Okay.
Sent in.
Okay.
So one of them is we need to start fact checking live as we're doing it.
Fact check live, yeah.
So that's one of them that I've been told. And we need to stop mentioning Tommy every week if he's not going to be on the show very soon. Just stop mentioning him every week. I'm like, well, he's like a local lad, and we support him like we're his biggest fans. Do you know what I mean?
We've grew up playing with him as well.
That was from Greg Evans, that in Australia. He messaged in saying like, you need to stop mentioning him now.
That'll never happen, Greg. Sorry.
But I think the fact check live's a good one, isn't it? Even though it, like, because I've listened to a few of the podcasts and stuff, and like, it takes them a minute, but they're getting like, because like David turned up at ours on to meet him on Saturday, and he was like, so is it Trump Termry or is it not Trump Termry? Like, and I was like, what? He's like, I've just listened to you having your podcast there, and you're talking about Trump Termry, and I want to know, like, is it? And I'm like, well, I don't know.
That's fair, like,
why haven't you fact checked it? And I'm like,
we did fact check it, but we just didn't. It is the same course, yeah.
It's
the
no,
same,
it is, yeah.
But I
only fact checked it after he called me. So
after the
I'm thinking we should start maybe like as one person's talking about the next thing. One of us should be trying to figure it out quickly.
Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah,
I'm
all for that.
Definitely. Or even maybe even write them down and do them straight after or something. So then, like, The fans have spoken anyway. We need to do it.
Say, does anyone else want to have a fucking go or what?
Fucking hell, they're the only two positive ones I picked out of the complaints. But it's good though, isn't it? Like, it enhances the viewer experience, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Or the listener experience if they're getting the information.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Because although we say we're not experts, we've got the ability to be experts from at the tips of our fingers, really.
Yeah, his name's Google.
Or Ash Jeeves.
Remember that? where'd that come from?
Where that just came from?
Ash Jeeves.
What the fuck? Jesus right. Christ. Anyway, the Sony Open then.
Yeah. There's a couple of players I want to talk on, but go on, I'll let you go first.
So a couple of things I'd like to talk about. I feel like I can't believe we didn't start the Order of Merit last week because going on the way I pick, obviously would have picked Kevin for being, my name's Kevin, you know what I mean?
And Neiman as well.
I definitely would have picked Neiman because of our Kieran. So I just feel like I've been done there. But well, I'm not going to let it affect me.
On me because I picked him and Neiman finished ahead of him, didn't he? So
Yeah,
you won up on me, but it's not official till it's official. And we'll come on to the Order of Merit.
I'm just sort of being a little bit of a thing because someone called Kevin won, really.
Okay, so Sony Open, you mentioned there Wacky and Neiman, right? This kid is unbelievable, you know, like unbelievable. Driving distance.
22
years of age. Driving distance this week was 325, right? He hits 80% to green in regulation. He finished the tournament one shot back at 20 under par. Lost on a playoff last week, minus 25. In 8 rounds of golf in the last 2 tournaments, he shot 45 under par and didn't get a win. How do you shoot 45 under par for 8 rounds of golf and not win a tournament?
I know, man.
The kid is playing so well.
It's because you've got gangsters like Kevin Na just playing 3 woods off car paths in there.
So good, then. And he hold like an 8-foot of a par, didn't he?
Oh, mate, honestly, did you see his in the final round when he got going a little bit on 13, 14, 15? He had them 3 birdies. The ones on 14 and 15, he was walking them in from that.
He loves, he
does that, but like
you can tell his confidence.
And he does his little step so he gets it out the hole and stuff.
I remember seeing an interview about that, and like someone asked me, said, well, obviously, how do you know that that's going in and to not make yourself look silly? Do you know, like to go and walk in and does the loop? And he says he's calculated and he knows about 2 foot from the hole that it's going to go in, and he does like his little skip and just gets there just in time. It's
mate,
Boston.
I've started walking from an inch out and it's bobbled left and lipped round and missed. And you're like, what? I'm not doing that again. another thing about that Kevin Nair as well. Did you see, coming down 18, he hit the driver going down 18 and then it recoiled off his back like that. And then it just flew, obviously ran out of fairway. But like just the shot that he, like to hit that shot.
Yeah.
Like how powerfully sort of he's hit it. And it coiled back off his, like you know, recoiled like
how
that.
How fast he swung through. Yeah,
he's controlled. But then he goes, love it. as it's going through the end, you're just like, he is riding on confidence.
He is
here.
Cool, then. Do you know, one funny thing? Sorry, go on.
No, as I was saying, then he hit it long with the green and then he got a clutch up and down to win. That was for the win, wasn't it?
When yeah, to birdie the last, yeah. Well, Neiman birdied the last as well, didn't he? Yeah, so finished birdie, okay, Neiman, didn't he?
Yeah, so Kevin Na needed that
birdie.
Up and down.
Yeah.
So it's a set of stones on him. Like, and in his interview, he said he felt calm all day and stuff. So I love Kevin Na.
I do. Being there, done it, though, hasn't he? I mean, one interesting fact I seen about him was, that's his fourth year in a row that he's won on tour. Last 4 seasons.
Well, he's only got, it's mad, though, because he's only got 5 wins. So he's popping up 1 a season. Just, it's like when we took, like, sort of becoming an half a journeyman, isn't he, really? But he's loved as well, so.
Well, $35 million in PGA Tour earnings.
Is that what he's got?
Yeah.
That's some journey in that, isn't it?
Some journeyman, yeah.
Some journeyman.
Is that what you meant?
Yeah. Well, have you seen the difference between, like you say, Neiman there, one birdie, the difference between first and second in the prize money? 1.188 million and 587 grand.
Yeah.
It's nearly double.
That's it. It should be, though. I think it should be. I think the winner should get a hell of a lot more than second place. I don't think there should be much in it because then it makes winner more important. I was watching the Ferity show. The talk show he done with Phil Mickelson, and Phil, they were talking about that, and Phil Mickelson turned around and said, like, the first check he ever won was for about, it was 160k. He won a golf tournament, it was 160k, and he was sitting there and he was thinking, he said, I was thinking to myself, I wonder if one day a PGA, for winning a PGA Tour event, you'll win $1 million. I wonder. He was like, it's never going to be in my lifetime. But I wonder if that's the case. And he was like, and now every tournament is $1 million. Did you know we put it down to?
It's got to be Tiger.
Yeah, Tiger.
Yeah, it is, though, isn't it?
The main man, yeah. We talk about him every week, but yeah.
I know, yeah.
Bringing home the cash.
Do you reckon we can't mention Tiger anymore till we get him on, Greg?
I know he hasn't mentioned that, has he? Yeah. I think he knows we'll never get Tiger on.
he's like the number one fan, Greg. Honestly, every time he goes through the episode, he's always messaging me like that, this.
Yeah, brilliant.
I'm like,
yeah.
You are like the number one fan, like in the Myersco lead ups.
Yeah, just before we move off from the Sony Open, I just wanted to mention another guy, Charlie Hoffman.
Oh, yeah.
He's first in driving distance this week, 326 yards. He was first for greens in regulation. He only missed 8 greens all week. And these are primarily smaller greens this week as well. He hit 89%. But he finished tied 14th. Still shot 16 under par. He was 5 shots off the lead. But in total putts, he took 120 putts. And you can compare that to Kevin Na. He took 108. So it's a 12-shot difference just in putting alone.
Fucking hell, man.
Because he's led from tee to green there. He's drove it the furthest and he's at the most greens. So you'd expect Charlie Hoffman there. He's had, 64 putts for birdie or eagle. Exactly. And he's only 16 under par. Say only.
It's like Adam Scott last week.
Yeah.
93% of greens or whatever. So it's like, it's mad. But just speaking of putting there, I don't know if we touched on this last year about DeChambeau teaching Webb Simpson.
Oh, it never come up, no?
No, so, well, I've read that DeChambeau was giving... Well, Webb Simpson said that DeChambeau was giving him putting lessons on what to do. And now, I don't know if he's adopted this before him, but now he's adopting... He's got the belly putter, a little bit shorter, but he's got it up his arm. You know, like the way DeChambeau does it?
Yeah.
So he's like, he's got it... It's not anchoring, like, because obviously Simpson had the belly putter, didn't he? And then now... He's got it like right up his arm, exactly like DeChambeau. Do you know what I mean?
Well, we spoke earlier, obviously, about the Ryder Cup, didn't we? And Kevin Na's never played in the Ryder Cup, even though he's won the last 4 years. Never played. But
one win's not enough to get you the Ryder Cup, though, is it? It's like it's.
I know it's consistency.
You need multiple wins and consistency. Yeah.
Well, one thing I found about the Ryder Cup, and obviously the Ryder Cup is what. Let's say it's about, I know exactly how long it is because I've worked it out. It's 35 weeks away, obviously.
Nerdless.
It's at Whistling Straits. When I was looking into the Ryder Cup and obviously the way things work and how the teams are picked, one thing that struck me was when the USA picked their players for their 12-man team, it's the top 6 in the FedEx rankings and then 6 captains' picks. And then you compare that to Europe. Europe is the top 4 in the race to Dubai, so the top 4 Europeans in the race to Dubai. The top 5 in the world and 3 captains' picks. I just thought
what if the ones in the world are the same as the ones in the race to Dubai?
It goes on the world. So it'll be the 6th person in the world rather than top 5. Whoever's
so you take
down.
Your race to Dubai one. So say Rory and Westwood are like there in the race to Dubai.
Yeah.
But then in the world, you're taking Rahm and you're taking whoever. But then if Rory's in the world as well, then they take
you go to the next one down on the world, yeah.
So you could get someone who's 8th in the world, really, or 9th as well.
It's in European. So I've worked it out, and as the team stands, obviously it's early in the season, the race to Dubai rankings haven't started yet. That's this week at the HSBC. But going off last year's rankings in the world, the current world rankings and last year's race to Dubai rankings, the current European team stands at Lee Westwood, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, Victor Perez, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Tyrrell Hatton, Victor Hovland, and Paul Casey. Strong team.
Yeah.
Team USA, Dustin Johnson, Harris English, Justin Thomas, Bryson DeChambeau, Stuart Sink, and Patrick Cantlay. They're the top 6 ranks in the FedEx. So, obviously, you'd think Stuart Sink's going to fall off, but the other 5 there, again, strong, isn't it? But then you've got, obviously, your Morikawas, your other players who are going to... Xander Schauffele, all these players who are going to make a charge.
Tiger
Woods, exactly. This could be Tiger's last one as well.
Mm. Well, yeah, really? Exactly. Definitely, yeah. Especially it could be. I don't know, you know. I don't like to say things like that, mate.
No. don't want the end to come. Well, you've got Charlie Woods.
That's another thing what we forgot to talk about last week. Just give him a little second. Wow.
Yeah. Wow, indeed, Charlie Woods.
Wow,
yeah.
Though.
Before Christmas, yeah.
Pinging fucking five woods in from 180 and making an eagle, like him all alone, thumbs up and Tiger, like when he's pinging them over bunkers.
When he let him hit that tee shot on the par four, and he nearly drove the green, put it just short, didn't he? And then and then Tiger said, "I don't need to hit one." He hadn't just walked up. It was so sick.
That's it. And then even Tiger just feeding the confidence into him. That's what I was saying as well. I know we didn't mention, but we did mention the way JT was with Charlie, just like having a buzz with him, like grabbing his head and like, you know, like you just look like a boss fella. Like it's like,
I think everybody knows. I mean, obviously you can never really know what goes on behind closed doors, but it's pretty clear to see that Justin Thomas is not a malicious person, is he? Do you know what I mean?
No.
So everything that's gone on, I suppose it's warranted in some aspects, but just need to draw a line. Of course,
for the world we're living in, but not really.
Yeah. Yeah, but no.
Yeah, that's the last I'm saying on the no matter. Anyway.
That's it. It's closed for discussion now. We'll move on. Yeah. But yeah, I just thought it's worth touching. It's Ryder Cup year 2021. It's in September this year. The final points, we'll be talking about that right throughout the year. The final points will be concluded for the Americans team at the end of the Tour Championships, and the race to Dubai standings will end at the back of the BMW Championships at Wentworth, which is the, I think that finished on the 12th of September. So around the beginning, middle of September, we'll have the full teams ready for the Ryder Cup at the end.
Yeah, it'd be sick.
Yeah, it'd be so sick. Can't wait for it.
We're going, aren't we?
Of course we are, yeah. I'll see how the golf goes. You might be playing in it. Brilliant. So yeah, we'll be talking about the Ryder Cup as the weeks go on and as they progress. We'll be picking a few major talking points about the Ryder Cups, different little
do you know what you were suggesting to me before about you got 36 weeks and 35 Ryder Cups from 1947 up. Why don't we put a little vote out and say, would people be interested in this, yes or no? And then we know then, don't we?
Well, just to give a bit of background on that for people listening, what we're in discussion about doing over the coming weeks is there's obviously been 42 Ryder Cups
Obviously,
well, this is the 43rd, isn't it?
There's obviously been 42 Ryder Cups, like everyone knows that.
Well, this is the 43rd Ryder Cup, isn't it? So,
no. Oh, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious, isn't it?
So, the first six Ryder Cups were pre-war, and the different point system. I think Walter Hagen was the captain for all the American team. But after the war, starting from 1947, there's 36 Ryder Cups and there's 35 weeks. So the idea was to every week talk about one specific Ryder Cup and take it from there, and then obviously build it up right up to the current one.
You'd end up thinking you don't want to know about like history and stuff, but then once you get into it, you're like, wow, is that what happened? You know what I mean? Yeah. So it is good, even if we don't waste too much time on it, but we can...
Yeah, it's Ryder Cup.
We can see what people think anyway. Yeah. And then... moving forward, if people don't like it, we'll just do it anyway.
It is our show at the end of the day.
If you don't like it, then don't listen. But now we listen to people. We listen to whatever feedback we get. We're listening like we're trying to bring the fact checking in. We're trying to not mention Tommy as much. You know what I mean? Like anyone who's got anything to say about it, we're going to take it on board, obviously, because we want to grow and give everyone the best experience as listeners.
Well, for someone who's not wanting to mention Tommy, you've mentioned the name about six times.
Did you know that Tommy used to play Formby All, do you? Do you know me in the Masters?
Birdie bogey bust. Let's have it.
Right. Well, I've wrote my notes down on paper this week, so I need to just flick forward the page because I thought that was going to be the HSBC chat.
Birdie bogey bust. Let's all.
Right. I went first last week, didn't I? So do you want to do your birdie first?
Yeah, let's go. Yeah.
A difference, but just to...
So, I mean, we've spoke about him briefly over the weeks because of your Chilean...
Association,
there we go. So
I think that's the word. Yeah, my brother's wife in it, so...
Yeah. But for me, these last 2 weeks have shown me the arrival of Neiman. I know he's won on tour, but I just think that this is going to be a massive year for him. So the birdie for me this week is just to give a bit of context into his scoring.
Yeah, but like obviously when you've mentioned that he was 45 under for eight rounds, there's some serious golf being played, some serious caliber.
Well, his eight rounds, he's shot 69, 67, 67, 64, 62, 69, 63, 66 in a row.
Fucking hell.
In a row, though. So that's my birdie for the week. That is unbelievable.
Can you try and work out his handicap?
Plus 45, isn't it? So what's 44 divided by 8?
You're asking it the wrong man. But plus what five. I can do for you is...
Plus 5 years. Plus 5 or plus 6, yeah. Well, 5, yeah, 5, 8 to 40. So plus 5.5, maybe.
Yeah, plus 5.6. So you have plus...
Plus 6. There you go.
Heavy member.
Heavy member indeed, yeah. So that's my birdie for the week. I just think the arrival of Neiman, watch this space. I know he's not like a surprise package and it's not people no one's heard of before.
Not a rookie, is he? But like he's new, isn't he? And he's...
But this like, is it. He's not,
you'd expect him to win multiple times this year and be contending in majors. Do you know what I mean? That's what you would be thinking.
That's exactly it. And that's why he's my birdie. I just think, to have a good tournament, shoot 25 under par and just miss out at the Century's, fair enough. But then to...
Playoff.
Playoff. Then I'll say playoff, no?
I don't know.
I'll say.
I just thought to dive in on you in case you missed it.
So, for that to happen, and then obviously to come back, and he birdied the last, and it was only for Kevin Na getting up and down. He was in a playoff again. So,
unbelievable. Very, very, very justified birdie, to be honest.
That's me birdie. Go on.
Nye birdie is just Kevin Na winning. But more importantly, hitting three wood off the car path in the final round is just that. I just seen it, and as soon as I seen it, I was like, "That is my birdie. I love you for doing that."
That was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You get other players who will stand there for a long time, thinking, "What drop can I get here? Where can I drop?" I'm trying to take the advantage of the rules, and he's just like, "Give me three wood, wallop."
That's it, exactly.
No, good birdie.
Exactly, man.
Good birdie. Do you want to go with your bogey first, then?
Yeah, well, my bogey is a bit of a weird one, really, because it's got sort of nothing to do with current golf. But I was watching Chronicles of a Open Championship Golfer. Have you seen that on Sky Golf?
Yeah, I've seen some of them.
So, like, you've got like Padraig Harrington talking, or you've got whatever. So they had Jordan Spieth talking.
Yeah.
And then I just got to thinking about Jordan Spieth, like three majors and how good he was, world number one. Flight, like, his putting was just unreal. And, like, he's just a young, up, like, he was just. Tip to go on to greatness.
Yeah.
And then now he's like 85th in the world. He's gone absolutely nowhere. So we've just done a bit of Googling of him. And the only like statement I can see him saying from like lately, he's like saying, I've hit like tens of thousands of balls doing the wrong thing. So now I've got to hit tens of thousands of balls doing the right thing. And I've seen some rumour that he's been to work with Butch Harmon. Butch Harmon just had a look at him or whatever.
Yeah, I've heard. He's staying with his original...
Like, him and his coach went to Butch to see
what
they were working on, blah, blah, just as, like, a little thing. And I don't know, I just felt like, in that statement of saying, you've ingrained something in so wrong, who's responsible for that? Is it the same fella that's digging him out of it? Or has he had changed coach? I didn't fully look into it, but I just thought for him to go from being a world number one to world 85 and just not being anywhere and just struggling so much.
But it depends.
It's just sad, isn't it?
Well, it goes back to, I mean, the golf courses aren't changing. People are in a further, people are making more birdies. But at the end of the day, he's still, when did he win his last major? Was it 2015, 2016? That's not that long ago.
No.
So it's, I mean, to go for it
but
to be,
I mean, you'd expect him to be still hovering around the world number one, still contending in majors, being about it. Just he's like sort of gone off the boil completely, and I just seeing what he done at the Open and different things, and him speaking how nice he is and that. I just thought him being nowhere, and like you wouldn't even be putting your money anywhere near him, would you?
But it reminds me of Martin Keimer a bit, that story, because remember Keimer got to world number one and all of a sudden he said, I need to change my swing because I need to play a certain shape to win the Masters. I want to win a green jacket. That's what I want to do. And then he's not recovered since. Maybe he's won the odd tournament here and there. He obviously done very well and held that putt at the middle of the Maidana. But he's literally gone completely off the boil. So if it's not broke, don't fix it. You're world number one. Exactly, you're winning tournaments. Man. Even at the HSBC this week, he's a three-time champion here.
Yeah.
I mean, that takes some going, that when you're playing against that caliber of players. So, it's sad to see, really. It looks as though Sutton's got in his head negatively and he's trying
You say three-time champion, to win it three times in a row, he won by eight. Do you know what I mean? So it's like he's storming the place in 2011.
Yeah. That's what I mean. And then he's made then swing changes for no apparent reason, really. I don't know. Maybe someone's got in his head or he's thought of it himself, but he's probably thought this game's easy. If I make this change, I can win more. And it's just completely backfired. And maybe that's what's happening with Spieth. He's thinking, what am I doing wrong instead of what am I doing right? And then he's concentrating on the wrong thing and trying to fix that. And the good parts of his game have gone missing. And maybe that's why he's fell.
It's like anything. It's like in life. If you focus on the negatives, they're going to come to fruition.
Yeah.
So and that's the same in anything.
Yeah.
So obviously them and changing your swing just to win the Masters, I think it's foolish. So whoever's the team around him should have been well onto his back saying, listen, the Masters will come. You don't need to be changing a championship world number one winning swing to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. There's got to be a finger pointed. The player wants to make a stupid decision, like what Duncan McCarthy was saying. I think if Duncan McCarthy, like the attitude that he had, if someone came to him, like, did you see that statement that he posted?
Yeah.
Underpin Sports posted about the driver changing.
Yeah.
Like, if everyone changed, like, and Chris Hansen said it the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he changed 13 times, went back to his old TaylorMade, and then come, like, second on the Challenge Tour. It's like,
yeah.
If it's not broke, don't fix it. Exact same thing. If you've got a world number one golfer who's got a mindset and they're thinking about changing it, you're the best in the world. There's nobody better. So why would you need to change?
Master what you're good at, like, and continue to dominate.
You've already mastered it. You're numero uno. Like,
but the crazy thing is, and you can fact check this, but from memory because it was so long ago, I'm pretty sure he played with a cut and he wanted to change it to a draw. I'm pretty sure. But now you look at every single top player on tour now, and they're all playing cuts. Exactly.
DJ just won the Masters with a cut.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, get it. Like, honestly, someone needs to dig for that. I reckon the canvas team.
No, but just justifiable bogey for you there as well. Good talking points. Appreciate that.
I just could have thought instead of keeping it all this week related, because I didn't want to talk about something that we'd already talked about.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I was going to give it to JT's thing, but I thought we've already mentioned that. I want to touch on something new.
The only my bogey is no Dustin Johnson or Bryson DeChambeau at the HSBC this week.
That is disappointing. That is disappointing. Yeah.
I think considering they both never played last week in the Sony Open, then it gives you time to fly over, doesn't it? Prepare.
Mm.
Why would you not come over? Justin Thomas has come over. He's made the effort to come over. I just don't understand the reasoning as to why he wouldn't come over and play this with the field that's there.
I don't know. You see DJ on that social media and that, man, he doesn't give a bollocks these days, is he? He's just in the Maldives, like swigging, doing all mad videos with his bed and that.
That's why I want him here. I love watching him.
I know.
Becoming a super DJ fan.
I know. I love him, man. I always love DJ.
And then
you go first with the bust.
Bust. We just spoke about it, but for me, it's the Cabrera news. That's the biggest.
Oh, yeah.
I just think he's someone I used to love, Cabrera, just because he's just dead, like, chilled out, dead cool. You just think, and it just turns up, wins a green jacket when he had no right to. And do you know things like that? And just
you only like him because you think, if he's that big and he can swing like that, I can swing like that.
I assume you're referring to his shoulder width there.
Yeah, that's it. He's a big beast.
He's now that I've found out he's a bit of a wife beater, not for me that.
No, shit bag move.
So no, I'm that's my bust anyway.
Yeah, well, my bust is a bit more political than that. My bust is, did you see recently that they've changed angling to be okay as a form of exercise? Fishing.
I don't know what Anglican is. What?
Angling, like fishing.
Okay.
I think it's called angling, so they've let angling be like a form of exercise. You can go and you can do it socially distanced, you can do it outdoors, you can spend an hour, whatever. Do you know what I mean?
And no golf.
So I'm like, that's what I'm saying. This is why it's the bus, because I'm like, you can go for a walk, you can go on a 5-hour walk, but as soon as you put a club in your hand, what? The coronavirus knows that you fucking. Like, I went down to Crosby Path, you know, to High Town, and I probably come into within 2 meters of people by accident. When you're on the golf course, it's respectful. There's tea times. You can play in two balls if you have to. Like, you can socially distance. Like,
when they first lifted the lockdown after the first big lockdown, that's what they done. It was two balls only.
Exactly, and it's
you can't the practice range was closed. You can only turn off 5 minutes before your tea time.
Exactly.
So the tee in front have already teed off, and then you wait in the car park in your car until it's your time to go. You get out the car, you go straight onto the first tee, you tee off and you play. There's only two here, you keep your distance, and so be it.
And I always socially distance when I play with you anyway, because I just hit it so much further past you.
I'm glad you said that. I thought you were going to say because you're on another fairway somewhere.
Well, we've all, everyone's seen that one.
Well, you know, that's another one of my goals. It's something I'm working on.
Yeah, because you slice it and I duck hook it. So we're well away from each other.
Fields apart, mate. Yeah.
But yeah, that's my bust. I just think, obviously, I do get it. Like, there's other aspects that you're going in the pro shop, taking money, blah, blah, blah. But I think if you're a member's cause and you pay your money, you should be able to go. You don't need to be policed.
No, I agree.
By the people who work there. So if everyone's be on fair, look, open the course, green keepers, and that's it. And it's a form of exercise. It helps people's mental health. And it's just we need it back.
Get it back.
Point number one, point number two, I didn't have any more points to say, so we just need it back.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. So HSBC, Abu Dhabi Golf Club, we're back. The European Tour's back.
The course looks immaculately impeccable.
Wow.
Might I add that them two words in there.
That's the perfect way to describe it. Another better job myself.
Honestly, it's unreal, isn't it?
Seen the European Tour have put some pictures on this morning on their story. Obviously, the fellas hitting balls on the range and a couple of them on the course.
Yeah, see, unreal, mate. It's mad that it's only 20 years old, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Year 2000 it was established, wasn't it?
So 21 or whatever, yeah. It's met.
Well, probably it's just 20. We've just got 21, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly. So it's just the way they keep nicking things over there and that, like, it's just unbelievable.
This is always a good week, this, isn't it? This swing.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, we've got 3 weeks, haven't we? Then we've got, is it the Dubai next week, and then you've got Saudi, isn't it?
So yeah.
Three tournaments in a row, yeah.
Like a little Middle Eastern swing sort of thing.
That's it, yeah. So it's always good. I can't wait for it, mate. I mean, the names on the entry list are just wow.
Big boys.
Yeah. But you talk about the course itself and how immaculate it is. It's not a short course either, 7,642 yards.
Yeah, but it's par 72 though, isn't it? So that's not short at all. That's actually a monster of a course.
Just going, thinking, where are you going with the 70?
But it's surprising that the longest hole is only 599 yards.
Is it surprising? 600
yards? I don't know,
I suppose that just brings into the fact that all the other holes are going to be quite long. The signature hole's the 12th, isn't it? The par three, the par three with the pond. That measures 190, I think, 185, 190. That's going to cause some problems.
I just love the 18th, me.
Yeah, with the eagle at the back. Is it an eagle?
Just a big like eagle looking thing, and it's a risk reward, isn't it?
Yeah, Greg's gonna hate this, but I always think back to the memories. It's, I mean, 2 on the bounce.
Yeah, well, that's it. But well, so this all leads up to, and you'll see in a minute. So obviously, Tommy's won it back to back, hasn't he? Karma's won it 3 times. Casey's won it twice in 3 years, and there's somebody else, Kimer, that's won it 3 times. Did I say that?
Shane Lowry.
I'm thinking of multiple winners. Do you know what I mean?
Lee Westwood won it more than once.
I don't think so, but he will do as of Sunday.
Okay.
Is what I was, because he's going to be my pick in the next segment. So that's what I was building up to. That's my reason for picking him.
That's your reason for picking him. No, that's it. Crack and pick, to be fair, yeah. I mean, you've got defending champ Lee Westwood, isn't he? We just spoke about that then. Like you've mentioned there, Tommy's won it twice, Karma 3 times. The last American to win it, Ricky Fowler, but he's not there this week. Do you know the first American to win it was? The first ever tournament in 2006?
No.
Chris DeMarco, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was the first, 2006 was the first time a tournament was played, and it was 10 years later, Ricky, in 2016, Ricky won it. Then Tommy won it twice, then 19 was Shane Lowry, and then last year was Lee Westwood. So,
yeah. Well, I've read that Tiger played in 2012, and Robert Rock beat him, Tiger and Rory down the stretch to take it.
What a legend.
Probably disappointed. Probably disappointed a lot of people's fucking betting slips there.
Definitely, yeah. Well, no, I'm looking forward to an unbelievable tournament. You say the course is looking fantastic. You've got a whole host of unbelievable.
And it's had a nicer, more sociable hour in it than the fucking 4 a.m. or whatever the Sony Open was on.
The Sony Open was hard work, wasn't it? Having to stay up till stupid o'clock to watch it.
That's what I mean. At least it's on, like, we're a bit ahead and it's on, like, when you're locked in the house anyway, it's on in the background. So it's a lot better.
But so this week you've got Justin Thomas, he's playing, Rory's there, Tyrrell Hatton, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Fleetwood we've spoke about, Victor Perez, we mentioned him earlier, Christian Benenzenut, we've pronounced that, have we got that right now?
Benenzenut, yeah.
There we go.
Did we actually speak about it on the podcast about what happened to him? Or did we talk about that?
About he drunk acid or something, and that's why he's got a
rat poison.
Yeah, we spoke about it,
I sometimes, because I speak about that much, I'm thinking, did I speak that in real life or did I speak that on the podcast? You know what I mean? Brain frazzled.
But yeah, whole host of names, Andy Sullivan, Hendrik Stenson, Martin Keimer, Danny Willett, Wilco Nienaber, could be a big year for him. Still only young, absolute bomber.
Bomber. Yeah.
So there's, it's just going to be, it's just a whole host of players, and it's also the beginning of this year's Order of Merit.
Exactly. I'm literally just getting the pots up now and thinking it's such a better formula we've got now, you know. It just stops people picking 1, 2, 3 and they're sending the picks in.
Yeah, it is. So anyone follow us on the social media will have seen this week that we've sent a post out. We've changed the format. So when we receive the field for the tournament that's applicable to the Order of Merit that we're going to speak about, it will split it into 4 separate pots. So pot 1 will be the top ranked players. Pot 2, top pot 3 will be the next ranked players. Then pot 3 further down, and then pot 4 will be just the hagglers at the end. So
sick the way we've got 2 pot 3s there.
Did I say? Yeah. I found myself really struggling with that little segment there.
I was like, has someone put a gun to his head here?
So we're 1, 2, 3, 4 pots. The pots are determined by the rankings. You pick one player out of each pot, and then your points are determined based on how they perform that week and the pot that they come from. So an example would be if you pick a player from pot 4 and they win, you will get more points than picking a player from pot 1 who will win. So a win.
And then also you've got to take into account another few other factors as well, haven't we?
So
it's not just winning, is it? It's not just... No, on the way what they do, it's based on like the performance as well, like hitting greens, putts, and
So there's bonus distance. There's bonus points for them as well. So you win it, that's where you'll accumulate the most points. But then you'll also get points for top 10. You'll get points for making the cut. Depending on the pot that you pick, you'll get minus points for missing the cut. And the reason I say that is because if your player in pot 4 misses the cut, you just won't receive any points. Because of obviously the caliber that they're playing and the field that they're playing, et cetera, they're not expected to make the cut. And that's why you get more points if they were to win. And then if they withdraw or disqualified, then that's across the board minus 20, regardless of what pot you pick them from. Then, in addition to what Kev was just mentioning there, you've got the strokes gained putting, strokes gained approach to the green, and drive and distance. So if your player finishes in the top 3, then you'll get additional bonus points for that. So everybody that's entered...
Is it only the top 3? The reason I'm just saying that, because I'm just really looking to maybe jig me picks based on Wilco Nienaber, to be honest.
Just want an extra point.
I'm just thinking like...
What you've got to remember though, if he misses the cut, then he won't be... His drive and distance won't be applicable for the statistics, really.
No, I'm just going to stick with my picks for this week, but then I'm going to, and then I might assess it based on if you can pick up a few extra sneaky points here and there.
Yeah, definitely. So this is the birth of the new Order of Merit. It's the race to the FedEx, meaning that this will conclude at the Tour Championships. We've got prizes of £100 American golf vouchers for the winner, £50 American golf vouchers for second place. And unfortunately, we've had to limit it to only 25 people to enter this year. And the reason being is because it's quite a manual process to get the points calculated. And there's only 2 of us doing it. But the good news is this is being developed onto an app. So once we get the app sorted, then everybody can play. The numbers are unlimited.
And then it'll just be a lot less hassle for us.
Yeah, we won't have to do a thing then.
Do you know what I mean?
But it's interesting. It keeps, like you said before, it's about inclusion. We want people to get involved in the podcast, whether that's through feedback, whether that's through getting involved in the social media.
Are you just trying to get fucking Ralph Lauren to pick you up for the clothing man thing there?
None of their clothes will fit me. You're joking, aren't you? Not yet, anyway. Wait till I've hit me goal.
That's it.
So what are your picks then, Kev? Pot one.
Right, pot one. I've just mentioned it before, didn't I? Big Lee Westwood.
You're going for Lee Westwood, and that's your reason, is it? Because
based on he's defend, like, race to the right champion. So he's obviously, the last time he hasn't played, has he, since he won? And there's a good little history of back-to-backers in this tournament. So, yeah, I fancy him.
Yeah, once you've won,
fancy him to get it done.
Yeah. Perfect. My pot one pick is Shane Lowry. He won back in 2009. Sorry, he won back in 2019, and it's the same year he went on to win the Open. And that's his best season as a professional. So obviously he'll have good memories there of that whole season. That it all started from winning that tournament.
Exactly, and obviously the same mentality as I'm picking Westwood because he won last year. But repeat and go back to a course that you've won it's
good memories.
If they can look at the past winners and think, he won it three times, he won it twice, you're thinking, why can't I do it twice? You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. It can be done.
But again, not that I'm doing Shane Lowry's thinking for him, like.
Part two, go on.
Part two, Callum Shinquin.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically, he won last year. Yep. And Duncan McCarthy, he mentioned him. And then when I was looking through that part two, it was very hard. And that just jumped out at me.
Yeah. No.
So, yeah. What do you pick?
I've gone for Ramos Højgaard.
Yeah.
Yeah, finished 16th in the race at Dubai last year. He's only 19 years of age and he's already won twice on the European Tour. He's finished second once, third once, and he had two top tens last year. So he's one to watch for the future. There's a few really good young players. We spoke about Joaquin Niemann over in America, didn't we? We've got this fella, Ramos Højgaard, who's going to have a real push for the Ryder Cup this year, I think. And then we've got Wilco Nienaber as well, absolutely bombing it, only 19 years of age. So a lot of good players coming through at a young age at the minute, and he's
definitely
one of them.
No, 100%. Yeah. My third pick is Robert Roch.
Yeah.
Just because I was reading all about him, and he beat thought if he's another past winner, and if he can beat Tiger down the stretch, he can have a little go in 2021, I feel.
Yeah, he had a good few tournaments last year as well, didn't he?
Yeah, like
in the
Scottish Open and a couple of the English events. But obviously he's a proven winner on tour and he's a good player and it just jumped out. I was just going on what jumped out at me really instead of getting too technical with it all.
Well, that's it. I mean, the good strategy about picking from pot three is you're going to get more points for just making the cut. So you know someone who's familiar with that course, who's been around there a lot.
Exactly, yeah.
And that was one of my reasons for picking Matthias Schwab.
Oh, yeah.
Schwab, sorry. Yeah, he's made the cut in his last five tournaments. And although I don't think he'll win, I think he's going to get me some points. It's his fourth season as a pro, and he's only 26 years old. So he's still got plenty to prove, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Mm. He's got something to prove to me, because I've never even heard of him.
Have you not?
I've seen his name around the leaderboard. I didn't know his first name was Matthias.
Yeah, Matthias Schwab.
Yeah. Number four for me is Jamie Donaldson. I've gone very UK orientated this week.
I was going to say that, yeah, you have. Mm-hmm. For any particular reason?
Three Englishmen and a Welshman. No, just that's what jumped out, and it just so happens that that's the way it is.
Yeah. Well, my fourth pick is Oliver Fisher. There's no real form to go off, but I seen on Shane Lowry post on his Instagram story early hours this morning, and Ollie Fisher was the only one on the range putting the work in. So I thought, putting some effort in, isn't he? That, yeah. I don't know whether that means he's playing shite and he just needs to put more work in and he's going to miss the cut. But it's sort of a free pick, this one, because if they miss the cut, you don't lose any points for it. So you can...
Yeah, there you go.
Have a bit of a gamble in pot four and hope you get some points. But that's it. We're going to post the pots and the selections on Tuesday when we release the podcast.
And we should get them out now, I think, because they've got a bit more time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, get them out today then, do you think? You give them as well, time because it's the first one. Okay. Yeah, and then you've got till Wednesday night to retain your picks and then just enjoy the golf.
because I know we're saying we're capping it at 20 odd, but like, if there are people that want to, like, we post it and someone does want to, like, open it up, haven't we? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the odds one. I mean, I don't think there's many more than 25, 30 that probably have even. It's not like we've got 100 people who are wanting to play and we're saying, no, you can't play. It's just we've got a good number that's manageable.
But I mean, we might have people that are on the Instagram and not listen to the podcast. I might want to get involved and stuff. So
more than welcome to. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then that might get them involved in listening as well to hear how they got on and different things. So
yeah, no, definitely.
Love the little avenue, innit?
Yeah, definitely it is. Really enjoyed that, mate.
No, brilliant, yeah. Just can't wait to get sunk into a bit of golf, you know what I mean? And another little mad one, which is totally off the subject of golf here, but because we're doing the McGregor thing. He's fighting on Saturday, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He's a sick one, that.
I know. I'm not really into the UFC, but
no.
But I know you're a big fan of Martin.
Oh, I'm a big, massive fan, yeah. So, yeah, but just thought there's a little bit of chat here.
Plenty of sport on, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it.
Talk about other sports. Everton are flying as well.
Flying, no. Really?
Flying, the Blues.
But no, yeah, good chatting to you, brother. And we'll pick it back up next week. We've got an interview. What have any interviews to come out? When are we bringing them out?
Yeah, so we've done an interview with Paul Howard. Paul's a good friend of ours. He turned professional, done 3 years as a pro, and then decided that wasn't for him. He's got his amateur status back, but he tells us his journey. That's the next professional route. That should be out. We were planning to get that out last week, but unfortunately, due to a few technical issues with the releasing of the episode, we couldn't get it out. So it was just a bit too close for this episode to get it out again. So we've got that one, and we spoke to Lee Crumbleholm.
Winning golf mind.
Yeah, he's a sports psychologist who works with players on the European Tour and the PGA Tour, players like Andy Sullivan, Kid of Death, Happy Banrat, and people like that. So,
yeah,
that was a very, very good episode. That really enjoyed that one. Just talking about all the work that he does. Very interesting because we spoke to him last week. He was talking about what a build up to a big tournament like this is like. And
he's out there, isn't he now?
He's out there now.
He was in Dubai though, wasn't he?
No, he's there. Yeah, he's in. Yeah, that's where he is. Yeah, he's with the players there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just good to get it. He was in tournament mode as we were speaking to him, so it was like a proper inside the ropes, but like not really at the same time.
Yeah, it was good. It was good to get a bit of insight into what the players go through in the prep. So keep a lookout on the socials, and again,
they'll be out soon.
Make sure that you're subscribing and liking the podcast and the platforms that you listen to. It's really important because then obviously it helps our growth, but it also helps yous get the notifications as and when the podcasts come out. So
yeah,
appreciate
it. And we need to get them these episodes banged onto YouTube as well, because the YouTube channel's up and running as well, isn't it?
Yeah, so yeah, it's Bogey Boys Golf Podcast. If you type that in on Google, you go over and you subscribe. We're uploading all of the podcasts episodes, mainly the interviews at the moment, but we're going to be putting these ones on too.
Yeah, so
you can see a visual version of mine and Kev's ugly mugs while we're talking golf. And then yeah, just subscribe to that, because that is going to be really active when the golf course is back open. We've got a lot of golf content that we're going to be putting on there, and just keeping
fingers crossed,
having a bit of fun with it, aren't we?
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. Trialing a few things, and there's positive things on the horizon anyway, so it's but yeah, until next week.
I know, thanks everyone, we'll speak to you next week.
Ciao.
Thank you.